The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, August the 10th. And on today's show, we're going to run around the league and break down news, including the Josh Allen extension that came about last week, along with more deals given out to various players and some concerning news if you're a New Orleans Saints fan. Go check out the mailbag if you want. That's in the feed from Monday. We did a Monday mailbag. Actually, it was all Facebook questions. You can ask us questions on Facebook. You can leave 5-star reviews if you like. And if you check out the end of that one, or go follow Debo on Twitter. I don't remember what Debo's Twitter handle is, but it involves E and an underscore and his lengthy last name. then you can see video of myself and John Breach calling a tattoo parlor. We will get to that in a second. But reminder that Magic, Jordan, Barkley, Bird, Malone, and Ewing, the 1992 Dream Team changed the game of basketball forever. And Dream Team, Birth of a Modern Athlete, is now available as a 5-part original series streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. The documentary takes you deep into the greatest basketball team ever assembled with never-before-heard audio interviews from the players themselves. Hear from the team as they break down the greatest exhibition game ever, Magic versus Team Magic versus Team Jordan, legendary smack talking, and how the torch was passed. You can watch Dream Team, Birth of the Modern Athlete, a new 5-part series now, streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Joining me to go around the league, Ryan Finley-Wilson. What's up?
Hey. Yeah, I was going to say I go away for a week, maybe even on vacation if I'm going to vacation. I should vacation shame myself. I should have stayed around because you numbnuts ended up calling the tattoo parlor down the street from my house, and they were very interested, it sounded like, in making this a reality. So, hey, ball's in their court. I told you to send me the mock-ups, and we'll go from there and make this dream come true for a lot of people, apparently.
All right, so – I think we're not going to spend too long talking about the tattoo, but I think it is, I posited either on the podcast or maybe after we hung up with a tattoo parlor company that your plan here, you're willing to get a tattoo, but you're not going to be proactive about helping like, hey, Breach, like here's a calendar reminder to send me the drawing of the tattoo you want me to get that I don't want to get.
It's like saying I'll run a marathon for charity. And then if no one brings it up, you're not going to be like, hey, what are we running the marathon?
Right. I don't know if that's the same thing, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. My point being is that you are probably, or were maybe, hoping that Breach would procrastinate and do Breach stuff and just not get around to doing this drawing. And eventually you'd be like, all right, guys, that's it. It's been too long. I'm not getting the tattoo.
No, I knew. I mean, I was fine with Breach slow-footing because Breach is, you know, I thought maybe in the fall is usually when he starts his serial killing spree typically. So I thought he'd get back into that and the football. And then he's going on vacation on his birthday in January. So I thought he'd get pushed back. I would get it done whenever, you know, push came to shove. And clearly you've shoved me right over the cliff. So let's do it.
No, I mean, like, I don't,
I'm fine with it. I tell JLC every time I go on his radio show, cause that's the first thing he brings up, him and Ken Wyman. What's the latest on the tattoo?
You're with me.
I know, it's crazy. So yeah. We talked about this last week, I think, on the podcast. But yeah, so Breach, the thing is, like, Breach still didn't do anything. You actually did Breach's job while he sat there like a smug little troll.
He still hasn't, like, sent you a drawing or sent... he's going to send an email to the tattoo parlor. But see, he's already going on vacation. Now he's not going to do it.
But I have to approve the mock-ups, which is the original stipulation. Okay,
he's going to send an email to the tattoo parlor. They're going to do a mock-up, I think, and then we'll get those approved.
But you're just wasting their time if I don't approve the mock-up. So, like, it's just start
This is how the process works there for any tattoo. Like, you're not going to, like, ask for a tattoo, and they're like, bah! And you're like, that's the opposite of what I asked for. And they're like, well, tough.
No, typically the person getting the tattoo comes up with an idea.
Yeah. Right? And then you tell I assume you tell the tattoo parlor what you're thinking of, and then they draw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But I haven't seen anything, so it could be breach.
Right. It's on breach. It's just going to be a while. What do you think about the tiny little volleyball with Ryan Finley's face on it?
I told my wife. My wife is a painting major from back in the day. She's an art teacher. So I said, look, you draw whatever you want me to have. Because she's like, oh, I'd love the. Here's the conversation we had back in the fall. I said, what do you think about tattoo? Just generally, she goes, oh, I love the idea of you getting a tattoo because I don't have any. None of us on the podcast have any.
Right.
And I said, what do you think about the idea of someone's face that we don't know as part of it? And, you know, she, they respond to you, like, what is wrong with you?
Who is this person that you're getting tattooed? Right. And if it's a woman, you need to get out fast.
that oddly enough, didn't come up. But, so I said, look, draw whatever tattoo you want. And she said something to me today. She's like, oh, I like the idea of a compass, whatever that means for her in terms of tattoos. It's like, look, draw a compass, find somewhere on like, compass.
A compass.
Yeah, right.
Okay, like telling you what direction it is.
North, south, east, west, I think, yeah. I said, find somewhere on that compass to put Ryan Finley's face. Does it have to be RF? Does it have to be his number? I said, we have to decide that, because I don't think you remember this part. But early on in the process, Breach said it could be any number of things. You mentioned the stat line. So it could be, maybe it's Ryan Finley's face on the volleyball at some point, like one of the heads of the compass. I don't give a crap. Like, honestly,
why do you say a compass?
How do you say it? Compass?
Compass.
You know, I think I said compass while we were away, and my wife was like, yeah, your dad's saying compass. So maybe maybe she says it wrong. Anyway, yeah, I know what you mean. Compass. I agree.
I mean, I pronounce things wildly incorrectly all the time.
That's true. You didn't know what the capital of Korea was. So
that's also like a Southern thing, like compass.
Yeah, no, that's right. I know what you meant. Anyway, so
you could do a compass with the directionals, and then in the inner part of the could be the Finley stat line.
Yeah, actually, the inner part might even be the volleyball face, which I sort of like.
I kind of like the volleyball face.
Yeah, I like the volleyball face better if it's actually the real Wilson from the movie, not stupid Ryan Finley's face on.
Well, no, but it would be Ryan Finley's. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But anyway, those are things to sort out. And if people have any suggestions that aren't completely off the rails, I'm all ears. I told JLC last, I said, JLC, I'm 48 years old. I don't care. You can put whatever you want on my body as long as I can conceal it with a fat guy t-shirt. I don't care.
Well, and also, I mean, again, I don't like if I lost the bet, I wouldn't be like stomping into the tattoo parlor every day and be like, where's my Finley? You know, I'd be like, look, Breach, you know the deal.
Yeah. And then he tries to push. He did this previously with something else.
He does this with everything.
Yeah. And he tries to turn the table. And actually, that's one of the few times I've gotten mad with him. Not this time, but the tattoo thing, whatever the last thing was. I know what it was. When he was supposed to mail me the program from the
Super Bowl program. Yeah.
Eagles. Yeah. He wouldn't do it. He got one for me at the Super Bowl, Eagles Patriots Super Bowl. And he turned the tables on me. Like, I was a jerk for asking for it, even though he had it for literally 3 years.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That legitimately got upset with the preacher.
Well, you'd promised it to a young child in the neighborhood.
Yeah. And then he's like trying to, suddenly he's an investigator to find out who this person is. I was like, just give me a magazine.
Well, and you're like, look, man, this kid thinks I'm a famous writer for, right.
Can he come through with $12? Yeah. He was such a jerk. He said, here's the eBay link to the magazine you get for $12.
That was Breach. That was not me. That was Breach. I got one around here somewhere. If you want it, you can have mine. Like, no, Breach got me one. I want the one.
It's weird that he has it in his house. He's moved twice since then. He's staring at it. As we're talking, he's like, yeah, I don't feel bothered to go to the post office. Probably because his picture's up in the post office, so he doesn't want to go in there.
All right, let's get to the news, the biggest news of the week. I guess it was it Friday or was it Saturday?
I was out of town, and I was like, oh,
Friday
gosh.
Afternoon, like around 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I think, oh, no, I was, yeah. No, maybe, no. I don't, it was sometime on Friday. Doesn't matter. Josh Allen signs a monster extension with the Buffalo Bills, 6-year deal with a value of $258 million. Second highest contract value ever behind only Patrick Mahomes, obviously. Averages $43 million per year in average annual value. And he gets $150 million in total guarantees and $100 million fully guaranteed at signing, both of which are records for an NFL player, which is kind of crazy since... I mean, yeah, he got more guaranteed money than Patrick Mahomes. Your thoughts on? It wasn't a huge. I mean, obviously, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big contract. But for me, this is not surprising. The Allen thing, because of where Mahomes set the ceiling, and then because of where, you know, other quarterbacks are slotted out. Like behind Mahomes, you had Dak Prescott, who got $40 million. It was, it seemed very easy to just kind of, like, Josh Allen was going to fall somewhere in that range.
It was going to be ahead of Dak and probably
right, ahead of Dak behind Mahomes.
Yeah. And that was the same kind of, I was talking to our buddies, the Junkies in DC on Monday morning, and we talked about the Josh Allen deal. And then, of course, the obvious question that follows is, okay, what are Baker and Lamar going to get when they get paid? And it's going to be somewhere around 43, depending on how this year plays out if they don't get their deal before then. Probably 43 and probably just a little south of Mahomes. I mean, if Lamar or Baker win the Super Bowl, they're getting more than Mahomes money, I would imagine. It'll be sort of the Joe Flacco situation back when he and the Ravens beat the 49ers back in January, February 2013 now. God, that was forever ago.
Got that right.
But
I would push back on Baker a little, although maybe not. I mean,
if he has like a Joe Flacco type postseason.
Yeah, I think the problem for Baker, for Lamar is a no-brainer. I mean, this is now you just get Lamar gets $44 million.
I don't know if it's a no-brainer. I mean, here's the thing. They drafted two wide receivers, including Rashad Bateman. If the passing game continues to be bleh, you know, Mark Andrews,
it was good. It just wasn't. He wasn't 2019. I've mentioned this several times. He just wasn't 2019 Lamar. He was just, you know, regressed a little bit in terms of touchdown production. And, you know,
so let me ask you this. It doesn't matter, but just for fun, because, you know, we always talk about this. The quarterback is the only position where if you're B plus or better and coming off your rookie deal, you're going to get paid just south of Patrick Mahomes money, because that's just how it works.
Mahomes is a little bit like Adrian Peterson and Calvin Johnson were at the peak of their powers, in that they had contracts that were higher than everybody else, and everybody sort of agreed that you couldn't go past them. It feels like that's what we've got going on with Mahomes here.
Yeah, until Baker makes more, which is going to be hysterical. Let's take Patrick Mahomes out of the picture, though. But you mentioned Josh Allen at $43 million per year, Dak at 40, Deshaun Watson at 39, then Russ Wilson at 35. Of those four, for one season, who do you want? On the team, let's say the team is the Atlanta Falcons. So for the Atlanta Falcons, which of these quarterbacks do you want for one season? Gives you the best chance to
battle them.
The quarterbacks 2 through 5 on the list. Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Russ Wilson in terms of annual average value.
That's a good question.
Out of those four, by the way, Deshaun Watson, we're just talking about the football player. We'll talk about on-field stuff.
Jared Goff, this is the next guy on the list.
It's insane. I mean...
But I mean, well, we'll get to that in a second. But I think my answer is Josh Allen.
Over Russ or Deshaun?
Yeah.
Wow. I think it's close. The funny thing is, I think for me, Dak is probably last. And that's no disrespect to Dak. He didn't play last year.
Were you saying just for one season or for
1 year for the Atlanta Falcons to battle the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and or Saints, with them in there?
I actually would have Dak over Deshaun, but not by much.
Wow. Sound like Debo now. Isn't that Debo's argument? Dak over Deshaun?
Yeah, he said Wentz over Deshaun.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah,
that's okay. All four of those guys are really close. I think it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I mean, if it's just 1 year, maybe Russ is the correct answer, and you put him out there and you just let him cook, and with a good offensive coordinator, and, you know, or Arthur Smith and Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. I mean, that would be an enjoyable season. I don't know that team's winning the Super Bowl. I take it back. My answer is probably Russ for the Falcons for one season, because I think that Russ is most likely to elevate himself and the people around him with circumstances that are designed to bring you down. Whereas Josh Allen is awesome. I'm not taking away from him, but the Bills did a perfect job of building out an infrastructure to help him flourish. And I don't know, for instance, if Josh Allen is the number 2 overall pick in the 2018 draft and goes to the Jets, and Sam Darnold goes to the Bills, I don't think it's a complete flip, but I think that Sam Darnold is probably still in Buffalo. Yeah. And maybe Josh Allen is just not working out in New York. I don't know. I think that's a hard case to
fit is incredibly important. I think it's Russ, for me, it's Russ Wilson, then Josh Allen, then Deshaun, then Dak. And all those guys are great quarterbacks. Again, we're not talking about the off-field stuff, but Josh Allen has come so far so quickly, and Prisco, and rightly so, loves to peacock about it, because that was his number one quarterback in the 2018 draft.
An alpha. He's an alpha.
He is not a, what is he called to? Josh Allen has fire in his belly.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen went from, He went 52.8 completion percentage as a rookie, 58.8 in his second season, 69.2 in his third season. The leaps that he made.
And this comes off completing 55 or whatever percentage passes his last year in Wyoming and only getting one scholarship offer coming out of high school.
And that, I mean, 2020 is the only time he's ever completed more than 60% of his passes in a season.
Let me ask you this. This was a question also posed to me by the Junkies, and it's a good question. What do you think Josh Allen's productivity will look like in 2021? Like, will his numbers were insane, but in terms of, will he continue to get better? Will he plateau? Will he regress because now he has all this money?
I don't think he regresses because he has all the money.
Well, you know what I mean. He doesn't.
No. I do. His decision making has gotten so much better. He only had 10 interceptions last year, nine the year before in 16 games after 12 is his rookie season. I think something in the range. I think his stat line is repeatable, although I would probably expect maybe a slight dip in completion percent. I don't know. I mean, you know, if he came out and he had 65% completions, 4,200 passing yards. Well, there's 17 games now too. So let's say 4,500 passing yards, 35 passing touchdowns and 13 picks. I mean, that's still a great season. And that would be a quote unquote regression.
Yep. Sorry, I was texting my wife real quick. Here's what I said. Remember, like, throughout the season.
You're going to read the text from your wife. What? Here's what I said to my wife.
My beloved, what are the Andrew Luck.
Let's forget her.
No, the Andrew Luck Civil War tweets. My dearest. Dearest
mom. I just.
Well, here, let me tell you quickly. So yeah. Here's what I said when I was asked this question, because last year during the fall, this is what we said, or at least I did every single week. I'm waiting for Josh Allen to have that 2019 moment in the playoffs against the Texans where he tried to throw the ball over his head. Remember
yes.
that?
Yes.
And that was his Josh Allen meltdown moment. You're like, okay, there it is. Because we saw glimpses of that, you know, every two or three weeks during the 2019.
He was trying to do it during the postseason this past year.
But we didn't see it, and we never.
It never happened. He tried.
Like,
it never happened.
The big national games during the season, like the Steelers game, he absolutely steamrolled those guys.
The Cowboys in that, or was that 2 years ago?
I don't remember the Cowboys game, but what was the Patriots game? The Patriots game, he played well. I think Cam had the fumble at the end that sort of turned things. But
Dallas,
we never.
Dallas was 2 years ago. Sorry,
we never saw Josh Allen have that over the head, behind the back Texans pass that made you go, okay, this is too big for him. And I think he's going to continue, much in the same way we talked about Baker and Stefanski having all that confidence. I think they're going to build on that in Cleveland. I think Josh Allen will continue to build on that. And now he has the confidence of knowing that Brandon being the GM and Sean McDermott, the head coach, are all in on him in terms of payout. So that's even, you know, more reason for optimism if you're a Buffalo Bills fan.
Early on in the process, too, so the first 2 weeks of the season, first 3 weeks of the season, they beat the Jets last year. They beat the Jets handily. They beat Miami by three, but he is for 415 and four touchdowns. You know, Miami was a much better defense than we thought at the time. We thought they were bad and getting shredded by Josh Allen. And then the next week, you know, what a wild series of events. They're losing badly to the Rams. Oh, no, they were beating the Rams badly. The Rams storm back.
Yeah.
And then Josh Allen, you know, goes off at the end and gets that crazy. There was a penalty, and you know, they end up winning the game by three. It was a wild game in week three. But I mean, he started the season just gangbusters, didn't really slow down a ton, didn't look great on that Thursday night COVID game against Tennessee, or maybe it was like a Tuesday night COVID
yeah,
game.
But that was because they had moved, exactly, they moved all the games around. The games that they lost were games they had moved around for COVID-related reasons, I believe.
Yeah, and then they lost the Hail Murray.
And the Hail Murray game, exactly.
Then they lost four games last year. I can't
remember. Three in the playoffs, yeah.
They lost the Tennessee game that was moved around for COVID. They lost to the Chiefs. No shame there. And they lost on the Hail Murray. And that team was could have been kind of close to, you know, being the number one.
So I think he got exactly what he deserves. I think the $43 million is not just because he's next in line, but he's actually second best quarterback, second or third. I mean, he's not better than Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're taking Aaron Rodgers, right?
For 1 year, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. He's a top three, top four quarterback without a doubt. You're not saying Matthew Stafford's better than Josh Allen, right?
No.
Okay. Not even you were saying that.
Well, I think guys like Stafford and Russ, you could put them on with the, you know, Josh Allen. I don't know how Josh Allen would be on a bad team.
But that's not his fault. He's just playing what he's.
Oh no, I'm not blaming him for it. So what does this mean for, we mentioned, I think Lamar Jackson's easy. I think it's 44. He's not going to take 43 million or 42 million. He's an MVP.
Well, let's have the same conversation we had with Breach last week before I left. What if, let's start with the Ravens. What if the Ravens win 9 football games, go to the playoffs, lose in the first round? You're giving him $44 million?
You just have to give it. I mean, remember when Derek Carr was the highest paid like quarterback
for like football? 24 hours or whatever.
Yeah. And then Jimmy G was. And everybody's up in arms about it, but eventually those deals end up looking good. You know, the Dak Prescott deal already looks fairly good because the Cowboys got it done before Josh Allen, right?
No. It looks fine for everyone, but Jerry's still a dum-dum because he could have saved himself $7 million a year.
It would look great if he was making less than Jared Goff, you know, and they could have done that.
Right.
Or $35 million or whatever it would be for Dak. Yes. I mean, it would look a lot better, you know, if he was making $5 million less per year. I'm just saying that I think Lamar, given his resume, given, you know, his age, his production, and given the quarterback market, 44 seems, I would almost lock it in that he gets $44 million if it's done this offseason. Now, if it's done next offseason, whole different story. I don't know that Baker Mayfield gets $44 million, but the Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo argument would push him that high if, as you point out, the Browns are, you know, 13-3. And
here's Baker the thing, though. I think Baker gets that 43-ish money if the Browns win 9 or 10 games and, you know, make the playoffs, win a game, maybe, or whatever. 10 or 11. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But
remember, nine games is now 9-8, so that's not.
Yeah. He's not Andy Dalton.
No.
Andy Dalton got middle-of-the-road money his second contract. Like, it was like, oh, this is clearly the most Andy Dalton thing ever. He wasn't even in the conversation. I think Baker is going to be in the conversation because I think Andy Dalton would obviously have signed a deal somewhere else and gotten maybe a little more than what he got, but he wasn't getting top-tier QB money. I think Baker, if he signed somewhere else, because there's so many needs at quarterback, he would get $40 million somewhere else if he were on the open market next year.
Yeah. And again, you know, Baker had a bad season in 2019.
Yeah. Two words, Freddie Kitchens.
Correct. I Baker is banking on him. He is betting on himself. As you point out, the Joe Flacco move, he's betting on himself that he has a great year in 2021. The Browns win a bunch of games. They make a playoff run, you know, whatever it is that would justify the $44 million. But Baker firmly believes that's the case. That's why he's not pushing for a contract this offseason. The two other examples that when you start looking at this list, you know, we talk about Derek Carr and then Jimmy Garoppolo topped him. I mean, Matt Stafford topped him with the Lions, and Jimmy Garoppolo topped him, and then Tannehill tops him. It's just how it works. Carson Wentz and Jared Goff both were the top paid guys at one point in terms of quarterbacks. Do you think that those two guys who are now on different teams and still being paid a lot of money to be bad at the position, do you think those two guys are a cautionary tale or just an aberration?
Carson Wentz got hurt. I think Carson Wentz is in a different category than Carson Wentz. What did I say?
You said he got hurt.
Carson Wentz got hurt. I got confused on names. I think he's in a different category than Jared Goff, because Jared Goff, I think, is more, you talk about situation, he is a perfect example of Sean McVay hiding a lot of your ills. Yeah, maybe you can say the same thing about Frank Reich, but Carson Wentz is reunited with Frank Reich, and once he gets his foot right, maybe we see that. I think Jared Goff, through no fault of his own, is in for a disastrous ride in Detroit. And that's, again...
It's not a hot take.
No, I love Dan Campbell. I love that he can do burpees as a 45-year-old. I don't know if that's going to be enough to get this team into the playoffs. I just think there's so many holes, and it's not Jared Goff's fault. But if Jared Goff can't win in L.A. with Sean McVay, where are you going?
Did you see the Dan Campbell Starbucks thing?
He drinks like 400 gallons of coffee.
20-ounce venti coffees, or Starbucks are 20-ounce, but he drinks two venti coffees, but he makes them black eyes.
What does that mean? You add an extra shot of espresso or something?
Two shots of espresso in each one.
I mean, this can't be good for you. Like a 45-year-old heart.
You just really can't be healthy.
And you're already ramped up from
right?
Just being high energy. Yikes.
Yeah. It can't be good for you. No. But it would be surprising if Jared Goff was good this year.
It would be surprising to him, too. I mean, being honest with you. I think Carson Wentz has a chance, as Breach and Debo like to think. He has a chance to be okay. Even better than okay in Indy if he's healthy. I just think Jared Goff, again, is the poster guy for next quarterback up gets paid. But again, if you can't make it with Sean McVay, then you got to ask some real hard questions. And that's how he ended up in Detroit.
Indeed. So you are going to therefore say that it's not an aberration. Just not a cautionary tale. Just
is Jimmy G a cautionary tale? They drafted Trey Lance.
No.
Right. He's okay. Like, he's a B to B minus quarterback for me. I think you guys like him more than I do, but he does enough of what Kyle Shanahan wants that you're like, okay, he's 25. He makes on average $27.5 million a year now, which is affordable. You're fine rolling with him. And that's the other thing. Like, a year from now, these contracts like the Carson Wentz and the Jared Goff deals are going to look
nothing. No, they're not going to look good.
No. I mean, $33.5 million a year for Jared Goff. A year from now, you're like, yeah, okay. That's what you pay middle of the road quarterbacks in the NFL.
So after 2022, Jared Goff would save the Lions $20.6 million in salary cap space if they cut him. So, bye. You know.
Yeah, need a plan. I don't know what the plan is.
2021 and 2022, there is no relief in terms of salary cap space for the Lions from Jared Goff. So that's why he's really just this bridge quarterback to get them through the next 2 years as they sort of try to rebuild. That's what I tend to think they're doing with him. And Carson Wentz, they can save $12 million on the cap with only 50. He really just has 1 year left, and they can get out from under it.
Well, good luck to him. He's gotten off to a bad start.
I mean, probably more like 2 years, because there'd be $15 million in dead cap hit for the Colts if they cut him before 2022. There is no penalty after 2022. These contracts, that's the other thing about them, is, you know, they seem onerous. I guess maybe this is to your point. They seem onerous at times, but, you know, like, Dak's deal has two void years on the back end. You know, they can save $20 million in 2024 if they wanted to get out from under it. You know, they could make it a 3 year deal. The Cowboys could.
By the way, how is it that, because I was gone and I'm sort of catching up on news, how is it that Quentin Nelson has the exact same injury as Carson Wentz with a foot injury? How crazy is that?
It's wild. It's insane. Who do you think is more important to the Colts, Quentin Nelson or Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I was sort of thinking about that. I'm guessing you probably asked that question. I mean, it's Carson Wentz, but Quentin Nelson's pretty freaky.
The quarterback's more important, but Quentin, it's easier to replace Carson Wentz than it is to replace
Quentin Nelson. That's right. So I think it's like, maybe it's two, but it very well could be 1A in terms of Carson Wentz and then Quentin Nelson, because he is very important.
Yeah, this Josh Allen contract, by the way, you know, it's 6 year extension, whatever you want to call it. It really is more like they can really get out from under this thing, huh? There's 2 years on the back end where there's no dead money.
Okay.
So he's, you know, that doesn't make him tied to the Bills for 2027 and 2028 when he's 31 and 32. They'll probably want around there by then anyway. They'll obviously restructure, extend before then if he continues to play at a high level. But you can make the case that it's really just a three-year extension, and then they could get out from under this deal in 2025 and save $31 million in cap space. So
yeah, I don't know.
It is a Bills favorite. It is favorable to the Bills, these cap numbers and the ability to maneuver in and out of the contract.
Let me ask you this: do you think Josh Allen plays in Buffalo till age 31 or 32, whenever the deal ends?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I do too. So I think it's.
Yeah. I mean, largely it's sort of irrelevant if the quarterback's good. It only becomes a talking point when Carson Wentz and Jared Goff suck and get traded.
But Carson Wentz got paid after he got hurt, I'm pretty sure, because he was drafted 2016, 2017, towards ACL.
Oh, yeah. He tore his ACL and then got paid.
Right. Jared Goff was never like a home run hitter. Like, you never felt like, oh, this guy's the answer. Josh Allen, you think so? I was never sold on.
He had a sneaky monster season in 2017. He had 4,600 passing yards in 2018 and 2019.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, 2018, remember, that was when the Rams and the Chiefs played.
But he never felt like a top 10, maybe not a top 5 quarterback.
I think in 2018, he was definitely a top 10 quarterback.
All right, let me see what Football Outsiders had them those years. 2018, what did you say, 2017, 2018?
2018 and then 2019. He had 65% completions, 4,688 passing yards, 32 touchdowns, 12 picks, 18 approximate value. That's 8.5 adjusted yards per pass attempt. 8.4 yards per pass attempt. Yeah.
Let's see. 2018, Jared Goff was. He may be ranked pretty high.
Seven. Fifth.
Ooh, gosh.
Second.
Fifth in value per play.
There you go.
2019. God, 2019 feels like forever ago that he was good. All right, let's see. Where are you, Jared?
Well, remember, they paid him after 2018, right?
And then he sort of slipped a little bit in 2019.
He wasn't as good.
Right. He was 18th in value per play, 15th in total value. Okay. Well, which feels like that's where he should be. He's like replacement level.
Yeah. He shouldn't be making $35 million a year.
It is what it is on that part.
But I mean, after his 2018 season, and again, you know, it's just sort of, this is why it's a cautionary tale with Josh Allen is that Jared Goff, and Josh Allen's more physically talented than Jared Goff and looks the part better on the field. But I mean, Jared Goff's 2018, as you point out, was a top five quarterback season that year per football.
By the way, 2017, first year with Sean McVay, he was fifth again in DVOA, Jared Goff was. So 2016 was, I think, Fisher's last year, and no one thought anything about Jared Goff because that was a dude show.
It has negative two approximate value.
Right. And that was, everyone's like, that's not his fault. That's just the situation. Yeah. Fisher's leaving, all that.
But people were asking, is Jared Goff a bust already? Okay.
All right. So his first 2 years under Sean McVay, he was fifth overall in value per play.
And remember, they did those 2 years and then gave him the extension. And at the time, nobody's flinching at that extension.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. My bad, Jared. I misremembering history.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, more contract talk.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. The Colts, it's not all bad news for the Colts, Ryan. Did you point out Quentin Nelson, Carson Wentz both have the same foot injury, which is super weird. Mm-hmm. But Darius Leonard has signed an extension. The former defensive rookie of the year got a 5-year, $98.5 million extension. It's the highest paid inside linebacker in NFL history. He has been an all pro in each of his first three seasons, and he got $52.5 million in guaranteed money. I bet on Leonard, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, maybe or a few months ago, maybe a month ago, to be defensive player of the year at something around the range.
You did?
45-1. I just think he can put up the stats that can get him there. Fred Warner, who, you know, is 25, Leonard's 26. Warner got a $95 million extension with 19 million $5,000 on an average annual value. And then Leonard gets 19.7. I don't know that I would definitely say that. Yeah, Darius Leonard at the peak of his powers is arguably the one of the best defenders in all of football. So I don't have a problem with the deal at all.
Yeah, this is what I told our buddy Joe Musso on HQ. I said it's not where you start, it's where you finish. He went to South Carolina State, second round pick. If he went to a Power Five school, he'd have been a first round pick, and we would be like, oh, we knew he's been good since he was 18 years old. He just took a different route. took advantage of the opportunity and was awesome because he was rookie of the year, defense rookie of the year, I believe. So he dominated from day one. In fact, yeah, because
it was definitely rookie of the year.
Yeah, we saw him in.
Yeah, sorry, he's been to two Pro Bowls. He's been two All Pros. He's been to the Pro Bowl three times.
Because we saw him in Atlanta at the Super Bowl for the honors. You know
what? I'm sorry, I'm wrong. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year and didn't go to the Pro Bowl. That was really weird.
Okay, but we saw him in Atlanta for the honors award during Super Bowl week because he was accepting his Defensive Rookie of the Year award.
Yes.
But yeah, so he's worth every penny. Chris Ballard does a great job with the salary cap. Chris Ballard does a great job identifying and drafting these guys. You can just go through his time in Indianapolis and it's typically home run after home run.
His picks were Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, and Braden Smith.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So if you want to pay him $19.7 million on average, okay, sign me up. And Musso mentioned this. He makes more than Amari Cooper, which is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Unless you're Amari Cooper, which probably, well, he just mentioned like he's getting paid like a top end wide receiver, which is crazy for the linebacker position because for the last 10 years, that position has sort of been undervalued and it's coming back now. And actually, we saw glimpses of that in the Hall of Fame game when Micah Parsons, the Cowboys first round pick, was flying all over the field. And those positions are becoming much more important now because
I did watch it.
I want to see Dwayne Haskins dominate.
We were debating whether you would watch it or not.
I saw you guys were doing the live blog. I saw Tyler Sullivan was on with you when I flipped on real quick.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Sully and I had a good chat after the game. What was I going to say?
Oh, and by the way,
I've got a Dwayne Haskins Carson Wentz bet with a buddy.
Oh no! Oh my!
Who will have more starts, Dwayne Haskins or Carson Wentz? I think I've been inebriated when I made it, but
who'd you take?
I got Haskins, but it's sort of twist. It's kind of turning my way here a little bit.
Steelers fans love Haskins and hate Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
But there's a reason Dwayne Haskins isn't with Washington anymore.
Well, if Haskins gets the number two job in Pittsburgh, he has to sit and learn for a year.
He only's on a 1-year deal. Maybe he'll do the.
And Wentz could miss 12 weeks, you know?
You do the Jameis thing and come back next year. But here's what I said about Darius Leonard also. We mentioned Quentin Nelson and Wentz being out. Darius Leonard is the quarterback of the defense, and that defense is really good, and they may have to carry the offense for...
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah, so, I mean, Jacob Eason, I don't know if he's going to be the guy. I don't know if they're going to trade for Nick Foles, which would be hilarious. But Darius Leonard's got his work cut out for him now, and that's going to be critical to what they want to do. And the division, let's be honest, is up for grabs, but only because we all think the Titans are boring, even though they're really good. Their defense is going to be better in Tennessee, so we'll see.
Yeah.
The other two teams I'm not worried about in Jacksonville and Houston.
I think Jacksonville's a little bit of a sleeper. We'll talk about that.
Jeez, I don't know.
Xavier Howard got paid or repaid. I think it was Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reported it first. He got an extra had $1 million in Pro Bowl incentives and $2.5 million in additional incentives added to his 2021 deal. Had all of his minicamp fines for missing minicamp rescinded. He can now make upwards of $16.285 million. And he gets $500,000 in roster bonuses, per game roster bonuses, and $100,000 in workout bonuses moved into his base salary and guaranteed money in 2022. And so his $13 million salary in 2022 is guaranteed for injury and is fully guaranteed on the first day of the league year. And that his also had $6.8 million in 2022 salary fully guaranteed at signing. So it's just moving around a bunch of deck chairs to make a guy happy.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if you mentioned this, but Musso mentioned this when I was talking to him. It was basically $700,000 to keep him happy in the short term. If that's the cost of keeping one of the best players in the NFL happy for the course of a 7-month season, that's a no-brainer. Now, maybe you have to trade him in the offseason because you can't come in agreement. He's currently 1, 2, 3, 4. He's the 6th highest paid cornerback in terms of average annual value, incidentally, just behind his teammate Byron Jones, who makes.
Well, I think the Byron Jones thing is probably why he wants more money.
Byron's 2 years older, makes $1.5 million more per year. And yeah, I think you're exactly right because Xavier's only 25 and he had. What, 7 interceptions last year?
No. He's older than that.
Not according to... What is he? I'm looking at a spot. Oh, maybe that's the age he signed his contract.
Yeah, he's like secretly 28.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. That's... See, we talked about this a little bit, I think. Maybe...
Well, I don't like the way they have that listed on SpotTrack. I love SpotTrack. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. He's 28. Okay, that's...
Cody Benjamin and I discussed this, and I thought he was younger, too. I looked at his stats and was kind of surprised. I was like, whoa, he's already 28. I mean, he's only, he's quietly been in the league for 5 years, but when you're rookie year, you're 23. So, sort of like Russ Wilson, I mean, older guys, he's probably going to get one more big contract look.
Yep.
And so that probably, it's that plus the fact that, you know, Byron Jones got all that money from the, you know, more money than he got.
And he's outplayed Byron Jones.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Byron Jones' fault, but I mean, you know, Byron Jones became a free agent. The Cowboys didn't franchise tag him and he got paid. By the when this contract ends, Howard will be 31. Okay. I think he signed his deal and regretted not being able to get a bigger bite of the apple at this age of when he's in his prime. And so he wanted to try to get more money from the Dolphins. And then the final 2 years of his deal are zero guaranteed dollars. They can get out of it. So basically he got a lot of money early on, probably before he should have signed it, played really well after he signed it, and then wanted more money because he realized that he'd signed a deal that was below what he should have signed.
Right. Yeah. And that's right. So they can revisit it in the offseason. Maybe they trade him. And look, here's the other thing you can think about. If Tua stinks, they can trade Xavien for maybe a first-round pick. I don't know, but certainly a second-round pick. Use that as part of all their draft capital to figure out a plan to get a quarterback if that's what they need to do in the 2022 draft as well. So there are a lot of moving parts to this. Obviously, having Xavien back is important because now they have to worry about Josh Allen for the next 6 years. But most important, I think, is Tua. So you just sort of go from there.
Yep, I would agree. All right, finally, Michael Thomas. He sent out a tweet, the Saints wide receiver, there's been weird stuff going on with him in terms of his relationship with the Saints for a year plus now. And he tweeted out a picture, and he said, let's find this. It's a picture, and it said, "They tried to damage your reputation. You saved theirs by not telling your side of the story." What is going on with
my first thought is that from some, is that a saying from somewhere else? Why didn't we just type that into Twitter?
He wrote it in Comic Sans too.
Right. So I don't know if that was pertaining to something somewhere else that he got it. That was my first thought. My second thought is like the Saints point of view, best I can surmise is that they wanted him to get the surgery early in the offseason. Didn't do it, and now he's going to miss time because of it. And by the way, I think you pointed this out. Maybe Breach did. The remaining wide receivers, it ain't a bunch of pro bowlers and Hall of Famers. Like, there are a lot of questions at wide receiver in New Orleans after the name Michael Thomas. So I don't know where the blame lies, but it's not good news for Jameis and or Taysom. Maybe even Alvin Kamara, because we know when Taysom's in the lineup, Alvin is less effective as well. So that's a problem. Great news for Tampa Bay, bad news for the Saints.
Yeah, I would think so too. If you are betting on this, and we've talked about this before, right? I feel like I've said,
what are their win totals? I have to ask something.
Well, what I've been suggesting that people do, and I hope people have been listening, William Hill keeps adjusting the number every time I
Caesars.
Caesars keeps adjusting the number every time I bring it up. Thank you. The division odds. I'll see what I bet a lot on this last week because I didn't want to mess around and have it move again. It has moved. Your boy's moving markets. Do you know what the Buccaneers were -200 to win that division last week? They should be -400.
I was gonna say like -3+. What is it?
But now it's -256.
Oh yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Let me see if I can find. I'll look. It was -270 on Caesars is not to operate now.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. They're fixing some things.
I do like that they say, well, Caesar himself is working to get everything back up and running. I like that.
Yeah.
At any rate, I still don't think -256 is a bad price for the Bucs.
No. Who's going to win the division?
The Bucs.
Right.
I mean, if Tom Brady gets hurt, you could be screwed. Or Jameis Winston's incredible, you could be screwed. But the Saints offense is kind of, I mean, Kamara's awesome. But, I mean, what is it they have? It's like, I mean, Tre'Quan Smith?
Right.
I mean, who are we throwing to here? Adam Trautman?
Prisco was at the Saints camp last week, maybe earlier this week, and he was talking about Adam Trautman, who was great coming out. He went to Dayton with the FCS, and he didn't do a whole lot of his rookie season, which isn't necessarily a surprise or a bad thing, but now suddenly you're relying on a bunch of second, third, fourth options to step up and be the guy. Like, Tre'Quan Smith is good, but he's number one. Marquez Callaway is a great athlete who wasn't a great route runner at Florida, but can do a lot of good things. Is he a guy that's going to suddenly step up? So I don't know where that answer lies. And, oh, by the way, Drew Brees, who's declined the last 3 years anyway, isn't even there anymore to take advantage of his you know, big brain or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I think the Bucs are a really good bet and people should be betting them. The Panthers and the Falcons, I don't think will win the division. And
I think
if Tom Brady's healthy and the Bucs offense is anything like it was down the stretch last year, and the defense plays like it did in the playoffs, this team is going to win 14 games and cruise that division.
I think they re-signed Ryan Griffin. They drafted Kyle Trask. Let me see I don't know who the number two quarterback is technically.
Probably still
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If Blaine Gabbert plays, I still like them to win the division.
Wait, is here's the thing my thing or is it your thing?
What do you mean? I say that all the time.
Oh, it's you. I thought they were talking about me. Somebody in a review said, they're like, here's the thing.
Oh, yeah, it's probably me. I say it all
I've
the time.
I've been like trying to tell myself not to say it.
Like, you might say it too. That.
Maybe we both say it.
Of all the things to make fun of me for, if that's it, I'll take it.
No, it was just I asked and Breach was like, yeah, you say it all the time.
Breach doesn't know anything.
Now I'm thinking Breach doesn't know.
No,
the Bucs are minus. The Bucs are gonna be minus 260, 250, 260 where you see it now. That closes over 300.
So Blaine Gabbert happens to be the starter for the final 10 weeks of the season, and the entire season. Who are you taking?
I mean, I would take Tampa plus 125 or something. I don't know. I would take Tampa to win. I wouldn't want to have minus 260 on Blaine Gabbert.
No, I was going to say, even Blaine Gabbert, I'd say it might be even. Like, I would still take.
I would still, if the Bucs had Blaine Gabbert, I think I would still pick the Bucs to win the division.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You're probably doing a disservice. Oh, man. Now the Saints are 7-1 to win the division. That is deep.
Do you know what it was before craziness happened the last few weeks?
Probably like 5-1. Yeah. Falcons 10-1, Panthers 9-1 in that division for those who are scoring at home. All right. That's it. That's the news show. We'll be back tomorrow. Wilson and I will break down teams that might make the playoffs who weren't there last year. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.